Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Live from New York. It's the show that's really having a hard time with it. I'll be honest with you. You know.
With what?
When you were right about so many things, you know, you got your upset alerts right, you called the finals, you called the World Series right, you handled it with grace.
Right.
You walked a fine line of obnoxiousness, but it turns out you were right about the Chiefs. And here I am, right all along about the Denver Nuggets, and it's really tough. It's I'm like, am I doing this too much? So, first things first, I'm wrestling with it. I don't know if I can handle being right so much. Denver topples Boston. Did Joker just lock up his third MVP? Meanwhile, the best block since?
The block, but I mean, they're in different worlds, but yeah.
Blocked by James, awesome. You were supposed to say. Awesome. Did the Budless work for Anthony Edwards? And did he just take Tatum's spot in the MVP conversation?
Oh.
Best player, best team. And finally, after being, quote, 90% retired, Aaron Rodgers wants to play four more years. Oh. Okay. Alongside Chris Broussard, I'm Kevin, always right about the Denver Nuggets Wilds. Nick?
Yeah.
Are you ready to give me my flowers? Who wrote that?
You wrote it. And we're not supposed to be in the script writing business.
Wilds.
Yeah. Put your body where your mouth is.
Oh, lower back tattoo time.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants the Friday show. Just bear with us.
We start with the promise of the premise. Wow. No one is beating Denver in a seven-game series. Denver dispatches of the Celtics just like they did in Boston. Joker in total control, another triple-double. Playoff atmosphere here, Brew.
Yeah.
With some Celtics fans either making the trip or they live in Denver. Here was Mike Malone's take on that.
Another playoff atmosphere for sure. As we talk pregame, you know, you got to give the Celtic fans credit. You know, they always come out strong. You know, but you know what we say, right? They can take that L on the way out, baby.
I loved it. Brew, did Denver look unbeatable?
I like it. I like Mike Malone, Michael Malone with that. Look, I think Denver's the best team in the league. Obviously, I think Jokic is the best player in the league, and I think they should be favored to win the championship. But did they look unbeatable to the point where, you know, Boston should be demoralized? Like, we can't beat this team? No. The fact of the matter is, Boston was down two with 45 seconds
then
left.
Then what happened?
Your best player is wide open for the easiest three in the league, the corner three, and he just misses.
Yeah. You thought and that then, was going in when that left his hand?
No, I didn't, but I'm just saying. But also, on top of that, we know Jason Tatum didn't have a great game overall. 15 points, 5 for 13 from the floor. They didn't shoot well from the foul line, right? They shot 64%, and they are a top six free throw team. They're like 81% from the line. Mm-hmm. So that was an aberration. Jaylen Brown was great, but didn't shoot well from the line. He shot 50%. That was an aberration. And overall, they shot poorly from three-point land, which they live and die by the three.
But they shot
29%. It is my take. But I'm just saying, my point is this. All of that went wrong for them, and they still had a chance to win. So if you're Boston, then you can rightly leave that game. I'm not talking about a moral victory, but you can say, look, we play our game. We hit our threes at our typical rate. Our best player plays close to what his best game, and we can beat this team.
That last part is the part that I disagree with the most, which is Tatum and Brown combined for 56.
That's about what you would hope for. So the Tatum, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, yes, Tatum
will
play
better.
It's
not the numbers. You know what I mean? The rhythm of the game. If your best player is playing poorly, that helps.
But I'm not just – if they had lost by, you know, a couple possessions, Tatum had that terrible game, and Brown had a typical game, I buy it more. But if the next time they were to play and Tatum plays better, Brown's probably not going for 40. But regardless, I think only Milwaukee can beat a healthy Nuggets team. And I'm not even saying, like, Milwaukee is better than healthy.
Right.
I'm saying the only team that doesn't need the puncher's chance, an injury, happenstance, bad luck to beat Milwaukee is, or to beat Denver is Milwaukee. And that is because Giannis can go toe-to-toe with Jokic. And if we just look at the last 3 years, which is, I think, the fairest way to do it because it's when Jokic is fully formed, here's how Giannis has, first of all, they've split all six. Giannis it's his best field goal percentage against anybody. By the way, that's also basically his field goal percentage for this entire season. And while there is nobody that can minimize really Jokic, the size of Milwaukee and being able to put Brook on him and let basically what Darvin Ham thought the Lakers were going to be able to do, but with a far better defender than Rui and Brook, and with Anthony Davis and Giannis, who are very similar in their ability to play help side defense, like that to me is a pass.
I would like to see what are you, I don't know if you have it, Jokic's numbers against Milwaukee recently.
So we, Josh, do they you bother can just him? Tell me or text me
because that's a good point. If Brook can guard him, and you know he's not going to stop him, but then you got Giannis floating in,
but
to help.
Will you go Wilds? Because then I want to talk about Denver kind of historically.
But historically.
Yeah, Denver and Jokic historically. But I want you to be able to do your thing because this has been your
thing.
Team all
just,
year.
They just
the all year.
Yes.
Wasn't it like last week that he's been doing
Denver it
thing?
On
We
Twitter.
Didn't make picks.
Bro, he's been doing it on Twitter.
You don't
Twitter
follow me on social. I know people think it's a bit. To be 100% honest, to break the fourth wall, Brew does follow me on social. He just never reads any of it.
I know.
I read it 100 times. Yeah. That if teams come in, they play their absolute best, maybe they can peel off a game. But even, like you said, like, well, maybe if Boston hits their threes. Well, okay, if we're going to sprinkle the three pixie dust across the court – the Denver Nuggets, they made 4 for 21. They kept shooting them. So 19% versus the Celtics. That's shot great. 29%. I just think like Aaron Gordon, watching Aaron Gordon, the ease in which he's getting baskets and the chemistry that they have together. And I know it's just a backdoor cut sometimes. If we can show like Aaron Gordon crushing players.
Well, he's in that dunker spot a lot.
And he's just anything that's going up, he's putting it in. Here's this one. That's a simple one.
Yeah.
So the chemistry between Joker and Aaron Gordon, Jamal and Aaron Gordon, he's just always around, and then he has this little like fake shot.
Well, that's the that was the game sealer, I think.
That he also
beat the Lakers. And then the one, this one, he missed off the Evans. I mean, crazy.
But so this is, Brew, tell me if you agree. This is what makes Denver so different from other teams. It's similar to Boston, actually, in this regard, but Boston doesn't have a Joker. They're just, they're smartly put together.
Correct.
They don't
feel like
have
it fit.
Exactly. Everybody has a specific role. Mm-hmm. Joker's running point, literal and figurative, and kind of the maestro of the orchestra there. And it just when you have everyone that knows their role and an apex offensive player, which is what Jokic is, which is what I was going to talk about historically in a minute. That's how you can build out a consistent champion without necessarily having, we have multiple superstars or even multiple all-stars. You don't need it if everybody knows what they're supposed to
do. I'm glad you brought that up, and it's not to get in a historical discussion or anything, but the Nuggets are showing us. We've known it, I think if we look back, but I've known it. They're not a super team by any stretch of the imagination. Has Jamal Murray even made an all-star game?
No.
He hasn't played in one all-star game. But they are a great team.
Correct.
So when we look at teams historically, it's not always to say, they have so-and-so, so-and-so. They had the big three. That doesn't mean you're going to be better. If you are put together well and everybody knows their role. And when I was watching this game and Aaron Gordon doing all his great dunks and follow-ups and things like that, I was like, man, This is like great for Aaron Gordon. Because remember, when he came into the league, people thought he was going to be a star.
He was a face of the Magic.
Right. Well, yeah. but people did think he was going to be a star.
He won a slam dunk contest.
And he couldn't be in a better position because he's not a star, but he's going to be a very popular guy if they keep winning. And he obviously is an exciting player with his dunking.
So Josh got me those Jokic numbers the last 3 years. 26, 11, 11 on 50%. Against the Bucks, and so that's which is 26-11-11 sounds unbelievable. It's basically his averages,
right?
Yeah, or close to over the last 3 years, and 50% is actually I think a touch below his shooting average over the last 3 years. But so this is what Jokic though is approaching, and I know people are going to feel like this is odd coming from me, but I didn't like a lot of the Jokic stuff before he proved it out fully in the playoffs. But now that he has, we can start talking about this. All of NBA history, if they were to win the title. There's not as many guys you think have been the best player on a back-to-back champion. Mikan, Russell, then you have to go all the way to Magic, Isaiah, Jordan, Akeem, Shaq, Kobe, Bron, Steph/KD, pick who you want. That's it. Jokic would join that group. And this is where I wanted to ask you. Offensive forces in NBA history. The best offensive players ever. This is not in order, but this is the list. Wilt, Kareem, Michael, Magic, Bird, Shaq, Steph, LeBron, and this guy. That has him ahead of Kobe. That has him ahead of Durant. That has him ahead of Duncan and Dream, which I think most would agree with because so much of their value was being the best defensive player in the league for a year. But I think he is a more deadly offensive player than Kobe or Durant were, or Durant is/were, and Kobe was.
So different. Kobe and Durant are mainly scorers.
Yes.
This guy, he hasn't caught on. He's a point center.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He is the first point center. And you see Sabonis kind of in that role too. Şengün at times, not quite as much as these two, but still, like, he's a point center.
Yes.
And so... And this is why, and Giannis is awesome. And I thought a year and a half ago, Giannis was the best player in the world. But when you watch them, you brought up, like, everybody knows their role and everybody. It's because of him. It's because of Jokic. Like, he's not ball dominant, but he obviously has the ball in his hands a lot, but he's passing it. Mm-hmm. He's not just dribbling. We're going to talk about Luka later. He's not just pounding the ball like a lot of the stars today. He has the ball in his hands, but he's getting rid of it. You double him, he's hitting the right path. Like, he can do it all, so it's hard to argue with
your
list.
I threw that list at you
on
the fly.
And he's going to, but... I mean, he's still young.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, who knows where this is going?
He does, and I know it's become very in vogue this week to, you know, go watch 80s and 90s basketball as part of the Jordan-LeBron debate. People should, if they haven't, watch Larry Bird. Because including Bird on that list, his numbers, his Bird raw numbers awesome. Might yeah. not show it. But Bird was... He wasn't the Celtics point guard, but his ability to orchestrate everything. And I know the white guy comps sometimes get tired, but there are a lot of similarities in his game to Bird, and he's one of the most dominant offensive
the
players I've ever seen.
The 7-foot Larry Bird.
Just watch Şengün too, like past and future.
Yeah, there.
Celtics lose back to back for the first time since November. Tatum for the lead here.
Yeah,
here we go, bro. No, he knew he missed it, too. Once you start shooting and hopping, that means you're going to miss it. Here's Jaylen Brown, who played awesome the whole game. Take a listen.
Too many mistakes. Against a good team, we got to take advantage. Turnovers, free throws, you know, just missing the defensive assignments, all of that stuff we got to be better at. And it starts with me, starts with the top, starts with Jason. And we made too many mistakes, and it cost us the game.
Okay, here was Tatum's stat line last night. First 8 minutes, not too bad. Rest of the game, 7 points. 2 for 10, 5 turnovers, plus minus, -7. Nick, what was the number one reason the Celtics lost?
Well, Denver's better, but that's not what I want to talk about here. That's why I wanted to go first. Wilds, who has the best record in basketball?
I believe the Celtics still do.
Who's their best player?
Well, Jason Tatum is.
So he's the league MVP, right?
I never said that. I said that he should not be fifth. He should not be fifth behind Luka Doncic, who just dribbles the air out of the ball, has triple doubles, and loses games.
No. That was not all you said.
I didn't say he's the MVP.
Wilds.
I said he should be higher than fifth.
Brew, were you here? Did it sound like? Hold on, Wilds. We asked you repeatedly what Bruce said, it's not best player on the best team, and you said it should be.
I mean,
you,
it,
and so I'm asked, so because then Bruce
I hate to side with Nick on this, but it did sound yesterday like you were saying best player on best team.
And he's still the best player, he's still on the best team. Do you see now why he is not anywhere in the vicinity of the league's MVP conversation? Do you see it?
He should be in the vicinity.
I would think he should be in the vicinity.
Thank you, bro.
You don't think he should be in the vicinity? Well, like, he shouldn't be in that top five?
Well, okay, so I guess my point is more people are going to get votes because you vote one through five than are actually in the conversation. In my opinion, right now, there are really three people you can make a credible case for and a fourth in Luka if all of a sudden they win 12 of 13.
At this moment,
there's only three names in the conversation. Okay. Tatum's not one of them.
Okay, I'll Joker then. I'm just saying he shouldn't be fifth. Okay. The guy missed a shot. He didn't come up.
He's not an MVP caliber guy yet. And he likely won't be.
I like that you said yet. Because obviously the reason they lost, I pointed out some of the things earlier. But it's Jason Tatum play well.
That's right.
All right? And I do wonder, I'm watching that game, and I wonder, is he good enough, as much as I like him, is he good enough to be the best player on a championship team?
Only if
now, I got two things. When I think about that, Nick, I say, one, he's only 26. So he might not be good enough yet, but he could be good enough in a year or two.
You think there's another level he can take his game?
I just think maturity.
He'll never win an
MVP. I just think maturity and, you know, experience and, you know, you just.
Change shot selection.
His skills might not necessarily become better, but just he'll become a smarter, more poised player.
Okay.
But secondly, and maybe this is what you were going to get at, Nick, maybe they'd have to win it like Detroit in 2004.
Yes.
Where you just – and they are built like that.
Yes.
Where we have a bunch of really good players. Our best player is really good, but he's not like that top tier.
Or the Spurs in 14. Because while Duncan's one of the greatest players ever, Kawhi wasn't a superstar yet, and Duncan was on the downslope. Popovich different than Missoula, but that's exactly right. Like
now maybe he'll get to that level where he can.
He's not getting there this season. Going to make a major change this season. And so, like, it's just there are some in the weed stuff. Like last night, Denver's bench really outplayed Boston's. We can show it to you. And as much as everyone loves Boston's starting five, Boston doesn't have a great bench. That's why they traded for Tillman. I don't love Hauser or Pritchard. And Horford is, God bless him for still being in the league. But Boston has the best starting five, theoretically, in the league. But then it goes to vapors quickly. But
it's just a bunch of shooters.
It's just like in the last decade, the following people have been the best player on the team with the best record. Devin Booker, awesome player, not the league MVP. Donovan Mitchell, awesome player. Never close league MVP. Old Tim Duncan, 2014 Spurs had the best record in the league. All a legendary player was not league. So, and those teams are well built. They have good starting fives. They play well together. But they don't have that guy as their best guy. Now that doesn't mean like Dallas does, and the Celtics are way better than Dallas. But I don't.
Well,
look
they are
at Tatum.
Built. They are built like I'm not writing them off.
No,
I don't think they're gonna. We'll make our picks next week. But I'm not writing them off as a chance. But they are built like that Detroit team in 04. You know, where they just got a bunch of really good
players.
Or
kind of like the 08 Celtics.
I know. They don't want to be built like that, though.
No, they think Tatum's their guy. But I think he's not quite. I mean, we talked a lot about his clutch numbers. And we know 32% in the clutch and all that. One of the worst in the league. But I don't think it's like the moment's too big for him because he's had big games. Just last year, game seven against Philly, what'd he go for, 50, 51? The year before that when they go to Milwaukee,
game six was 46.
So I don't think it's the moment's too big. No. I just think he's still growing. And what happens a lot is he has great playoff games and he has some really bad playoff games.
Because he takes bad shots.
But that's what they do. You're talking about the two.
I'm not talking about open threes. I'm talking about Jason Tatum. The way for Tatum to get to the next level is to take smarter shots. And Tatum's best nights, those games we're talking about, are the days that he is hitting those shots. And it's just hard when we think of the most consistent scorers in the league across all of history, basically, even Steph included, a huge part of their game has been at the rim. For Steph, it's under the rim. But yeah. Steph, when he was winning, when he scored 30, you know what I mean?
Totally
he was great, at, you know, at the basket. Obviously, Giannis, LeBron,
like
Jordan, Kobe. So much of their game is getting to the rim. And I'm not saying Tatum doesn't get to the rim, but it's a lot of settling for tough shots he can make.
Just,
but that's what leads to some of these head-scratching nights.
The level of difficulty on his shots versus Joker shots.
Very
apparent
Well, that was
yesterday.
The thing. Like, Boston looked like they were just hanging on for dear life to stay in the game, and it was so much easier for Denver, no doubt. It was
put that in right there. Head over to Minnesota, where Anthony Edwards, most likely inspired by his appearance on the Bud List.
Was Tatum on the Bud List?
Well, you can't.
don't ruin the vibe, Nick.
Sorry, my bad.
Exploded against the Patriots. This was in Indiana, not in Minnesota. 44 points, unstoppable eight. One gravity-defying block to save the game. Here he is postgame.
Yeah, I hit my head, I think on the rim, it's hurting real bad, and I landed on my wrist, but I mean, you know, I saw him with the lane, I knew he was going for the layup, and I was just like, man, I'm finna go get this. I ain't never jumped that high in my life.
He's the best. Brew, your reaction.
Well, he was on the Bud List.
Correct.
And let me say this
to the
athletes out there. This is how you respond to being on the Bud List.
That's right.
All right? You don't – the Bud List is about motivation, about inspiration. Don't get nervous. Don't get mad at me, all right? Don't get in your feelings. Go out there and be motivated.
Exactly.
I'm like that old school coach that says, if I don't yell at you, I don't believe in you.
Exactly right.
All right? If I don't put you on the Bud List, what is the catchphrase to the Bud List? I believe in you.
Exactly right.
So, Jason, this is how you should have responded.
Mm-hmm.
All right, like Anthony Edwards did. Russell Wilson was on it yesterday. This is how you respond. All right, so when you go talk with the Steelers, you just be humble. You don't talk about having your own office. You just go out there.
I didn't know it extended
Mike Tomlin, I'm like a rookie now. I'm like, I had to go in there and prove myself over Matt Flynn. That's I'm that hungry now. That's what I want from you, Russ. This is what I want.
Got it.
Going forward, athletes, this is how you respond.
Do you get it?
I get it.
Okay.
I shouldn't have said the Tatum thing. My bad. Just Tatum didn't understand.
He didn't know.
Tatum thought
but
it
now
was
you do.
Too much pressure, and instead Anthony Edwards rose to the occasion.
Literally. Yeah. Is Russell Wilson headed to the Giants?
Well, I mean, we got a little preview of the Russell Wilson
take. Next on FS1, the Fox Sports show on SiriusXM.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Welcome back to an exciting show. Commercial airline pilots, let's ride. Russell Wilson's free agency tour has begun, en route to meet with the Steelers. Russ had a pit stop in Newark. Visited the Giants for an exploratory meeting. Nick, do you like the idea of Russ in a Giants uniform?
No, the Giants should not do this.
Why?
Really?
You don't want the Giants to do anything.
No, I would like them to draft a quarterback. They're at six. You don't even want the Patriots take quarterback.
Who
Patriots
you
can trade down.
J.J. McCarthy? That's who you
No,
like?
God, no. But I think Jaden Daniels might be there at six, and if not, you trade really? Up and get him. Yeah, I think J.J. McCarthy think might six. End up going before Jaden Daniels.
People like.
But yeah, people love J.J. They're privy to footage that I am not when it comes to his college career, but I'm also not a scout. But it doesn't matter. Russell Wilson is not a significant upgrade on Daniel Jones.
That's true.
Really?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
He's just and here's the thing. They can't cut Daniel. They're not going to cut Daniel Jones this year. You're paying Daniel right. Jones this year anyway. So if I am going to take the plunge on moving off Daniel Jones, it's not for Russell Wilson. And Sean Payton, I understand Brian Daboll, sorry Coach Mangini if you're watching, seems to have even by NFL standards, a historic ego, but Sean Payton couldn't fix him. You're not going to be able to. The Broncos wide receiver room is middling. The Giants wide receiver room is one of the worst in the NFL. So the idea that all of a sudden Russell Wilson is going to come there and be good, he's not good. Mm. So, no, I wouldn't do it.
I actually love it. Now, if they could get Jaden Daniels in the draft or if they want to draft a quarterback, fine. But outside of that, I'm not saying you even – and I don't think it's great for Russ because, as you said, they don't have – their skill position players aren't great outside of Saquon, who may be gone. So I don't think that's a great fit for him. Also, if I'm the Giants, I'm thinking of bringing Russell Wilson in as a backup initially. Like, I'm starting Daniel Jones and giving him the chance.
Oh, well, then that's fine.
But hold on. But my point is I start him. Now, he might play poorly, and I would have a quick leash with him. Like, if he plays poorly for the first four games or so, I'm getting him out. He's not our guy going forward. I'm putting Russ in, and now Russ has the season to prove if he is a guy we can go with for the next couple of years. But so I think in that regard, it makes sense. I don't think it makes sense to say we're done with Daniel Jones and now Russ is our starter.
Just,
but
just quickly, and I don't want to sound too much like Greg Jennings here, Daniel Jones' number one fan outside of the Jones family.
Well, Greg got off that take, so you're about to jump on it.
Well, he kind of still liked
him. Go ahead.
Remember the first game against Dallas, they lost 40-0, and it was the first – it was the quickest I've ever seen a team be like, oh, I guess we can write off the Giants all year when Daniel Jones was running for his life the whole game. He got sacked 7 times that
game. Yeah, so that'll be good with this guy?
Well, that's what I'm saying. But Daniel Jones was not set up to succeed. Okay. He got 7 times. Then he won a game against Arizona, which Dallas actually lost. Then he loses to the 49ers. Then in the Seahawks, he got sacked 10 times?
Okay, guys.
I mean, some Daniel Jones is fast. He can move around.
Also, at some point,
10? Hey, Russ, not all 10, but some.
At what point Russ of a player's a career is he – and so then now I'm going to be – because, again, I wouldn't bring in Russ. I also don't think that all of a sudden teammates are going to like him. Like, all of a sudden he's not going to be a polarizing –
Russ?
Yeah. Force in the locker room. I don't know that I buy that. But on Daniel Jones, he has played 5 years in the league. At what point is a player responsible for his own success?
I mean, you're a quarterback getting chased around. It looked like the Giants.
He doesn't have the greatest receiving core.
Like, whoa, the Cowboys are here?
And he's had a bunch of different coordinators. Like,
He has had different coordinators because the coaches get fired because he stinks. Guys, why do we do this?
Because he won a playoff game. His rookie year, he was pretty – that was one of his best years.
We do this weird thing for quarterbacks that we won't do for anybody else. We won't do for any other position it's not their fault.
I mean, sometimes – was it his fault when he got sacked 10 times? No, maybe. I'll go watch the film. We're working over the weekend. We've got to go back to that.
What I'm saying is that that at this point, we have to be honest about what Daniel Jones is, which is a quarterback that will get coaches fired. Now, oddly, that's what Russell Wilson has turned into, which is why one coach got fired. One coach traded him, another coach got fired, another
coach
paid him to go away.
Wasn't any good, Russell like, not.
We don't know. So
we know.
Probably that's correct. But I just, no, I mean, okay. I wouldn't do this if I were the Giants, even though Daniel Jones isn't the
Okay, I'd be throw another team out there.
Next answer.
Post-Giants meeting, Russ is going to go meet with the Steelers.
Yeah.
Now, since Roethlisberger retired, QB musical chairs, you had Trubisky, then Pickett, and then last year you had Pickett, Rudolph, Trubisky again, who's now backing up Josh Allen. So, Brew, do you like Russ in a Steelers uniform?
I do, and I'm glad to see that the Steelers are looking to move on from Kenny Pickett. All right, now, Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback available. Baker obviously is out there, but those two are going to cost, you know, 35 to 40 million, or more than 40 for Kirk maybe. And Kirk obviously is older. Justin is younger, obviously, and might have more of a future. But the thing with Justin is that you are going to have to make a decision fairly quickly, certainly on picking up his fifth-year option, which could be decent money. And then are you going to sign him going forward? Right. So for Russ, for $1 million, $1.2 million, or even if he wants a little bit more, I mean, yes, this is now. Nick, if he can't succeed in Pittsburgh, because you got two, I think, very good receivers in Pickens and Dante Johnson. You got two good running backs in Najee Harris and Jalen. And then you got Pratt Farmer, who's a good tight end. And you got a very good defense. It is all set up. He doesn't have to be great. But if he can be a little better than last year, his numbers last year were fine. Oh. But his actual performance, I think it's great for the Steelers and for Russ. And hopefully they both work this thing out.
Okay. This one I agree with.
You like this one.
Listen, the four worst quarterback teams last year were the Panthers, but they were starting Bryce, you know, a rookie. Right. So they're obviously there. The Jets, but they have Aaron come back. Pittsburgh and New England. And Pittsburgh and New England, New England has a ripcord to pull via the third pick of the draft. So that then lives. So the Jets are going to have Rodgers. The Panthers obviously still riding with Bryce Young. New England, we assume, is going to draft a quarterback 3. Pittsburgh has the 20th pick. They don't have a ton of cap space. They're not in the market for one of the actual true, no doubt, upgrades you mentioned. So, yes, despite how pessimistic I am on Russ, for this team at this price point with this level of quarter, he could be, if Russ next year is the 25th best quarterback in the league, and I know you think he'll be better, it is a massive upgrade from what they've had.
If he's what he was last year. I mean, again, the numbers are fine.
The actual production. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I give you, because I know you pulled that out of thin air.
Yeah.
Last year's the Steelers passing offense was 25th.
Yeah.
With 186 yards a game.
I'm surprised it was even
Russ averaged 205 yards a game.
Yeah.
So you got yourself 19
more
yards
a game.
But he
was a lot more efficient. The touchdowns.
He threw everything behind the line of scrimmage.
Kenny Pickett is not an NFL starter. He will never be. And I don't know if we want to do, you know, blame other people. I guess with Pickett, it's okay blaming his performance on him. Certain quarterbacks, it's not. Mason Rudolph is going to be a high-level backup and make a lot of money, and as he showed last year, can step in and play well. But if he's your starter, you're not in good shape. So for this team, there aren't 32 awesome quarterbacks. So for this team, this one makes sense to me.
Okay. I have another. I got a longer.
Go. Another team?
Well, remember when the Vikings were good when Kirk Cousins went down. Some people had him going all the way to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then they were on the hunt. They're like, what are we going to do? And they went and got Josh Dobbs, and all of a sudden it took off. Josh Dobbs signed on Halloween. Do you think there's a chance that Russ looks around and be like, you know what, I want to start. I don't want to, like, compete. I want to, like, maybe I just hang out for a while and see what happens during the season.
If Pittsburgh wants him, he should go there.
Yes.
You couldn't, like, do you disagree with what I said about their skill position players?
No.
Like, it's set up, and you got a great defense and a very good coach. Like,
I would.
So many starters.
Be a better situation.
Yes.
Like Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you're Russ, you don't sign with Pittsburgh, and like all and it's, you know, an Aaron Rodgers type situation.
Pittsburgh's
happens.
Better than the Jets.
Yeah. No. Wilds. I agree with you in this regard. If Pittsburgh was like, you know what, we're out.
Yeah.
And the Giants are like, we'll sign you, but you're going to be, it's for what Bruce said might be as a backup, then I would 100% do what you said, which is I'm going to wait and inevitably a spot's going to come open. But being the starter for the Steelers and Tomlin is a great opportunity.
That's true.
And for the Steelers, even though he's not very good, he's not good in my opinion, he is a clear upgrade over what they have.
Okay. All right. Coming up next, a ton of Denver Nuggets highlights.
Aaron Gordon, he's going to be in a lot of it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Warriors Bulls. Steph Curry hurts his ankle in a loss. Not great. Golden State currently firmly in the play-in. Clay, confident the Warriors will be okay. Take a listen.
If he is out, unfortunate, but it's part of the, you know, the length of the season. It's hard to play every game, especially not have any minor injuries. And we'll do well without him. We can rely on our history and how to execute without him.
Okay. Can Steph afford to miss any time?
That's the question you're going to ask?
Okay.
No snarky repartee? No little wink and nod at the camera like yesterday? When we can show it to you, LeBron left the game in the exact same time, under the exact same circumstances. I think by the second, yeah. I don't know if we can show you. 5 seconds.
Do we have
straight
we have
to the locker room?
LeBron almost ran.
I'm sorry that LeBron can deal with the injury maybe a little better because he doesn't have bad ankles.
What are you trying to insinuate?
I don't know. You did a whole inquisition when LeBron left a game early with an ankle injury. With Steph, you seem awful concerned. With LeBron, you seemed awful. Brew, once again, I know you hate to agree with me. Am I right or am I wrong? Wow.
I hate to. Yeah, Nick is right.
Thank you very much.
Rods, I'm objective.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate the objectivity. He is objective.
Do you think LeBron's going to miss a game?
He's very tough.
Okay. Do you think Steph's going to miss a game?
Probably.
Okay.
But he's got bad ankles.
Okay, thank you.
So, I mean, I don't know what you want from me there. Now, listen, I mean, Golden State is totally cooked without him. But because the Jazz and Wilds' Rockets are so far, like,
yeah, librarian. They're just, this yeah. is his opportunity.
This would have been
step up. I'm going to put him on the button.
Ooh, that would be a good librarian.
Thank you. Yes. So, I mean, what this does mean, though, is if he misses any real time, they are locked into best-case scenario being in that 9-10
right.
area. And you guys know how I feel about that. Yep. Like, you're just cooked. And so I think this is really bad for them because their only hope was to get up to the 7-8 and then win one of those games to make the real playoffs. At the 9-10 spot, they're in a really rough spot.
And I think, look, I don't think it was going to happen, but they're 3.5 games out of 6. Now, I know they'd have to climb a lot of teams, but with Steph, they've been playing well. They had won 14 out of their last 18 heading into last night.
Yep.
So, 14, they were
Chris
playing
Paul
well.
Back, obviously.
And so, and that, you know, we'll see how that works out, if Chris Paul can kind of hold things off. But, look, last year they were 14-12 without Steph. So, they, like you said, they're 5.5 games up on the 11th seed.
Yeah.
So they're going to at least be in the play-in. The thing is they're not going to be able to. I'm thinking, Nick, not just 7 or 8, but they probably had their eyes on 6.
Yeah.
And now that's not going to happen if he's out for a extended
period. Okay, you got a game against the Spurs tomorrow. Then you go to San Antonio on Monday. Mavericks, Lakers, Knicks, Grizzlies. So that's 6 games. You can win both Spurs
A lot
games.
Of those are winnable.
I mean, winnable, Brew, without Steph, this Warriors
What is when
team,
you need Chris Paul Chris, to step
I
up?
I guess that's fair if you think Chris Paul is going to be able to step up significantly. Like, I just think if we were to look at the Warriors without, like, this team existed without Steph for a season, we would say they're one of the worst, you know, they're
We've
not the
– It didn't work.
Right, they're one of the 5 worst teams in the
league. Here's what I will say. Look, obviously you'd like to get out of the play-in if you could. But this is an opportunity for Kuminga, who's already been playing really well, but take
that.
A next step. The rookie, Podzimski, Brandon, maybe he steps up. And Clay maybe to kind of get a rhythm.
Actually played well yesterday off the bench.
And then even Chris Paul.
Well, that's the thing. Is Chris Paul, if we're going to go totally glass, you know, quarter full, is Chris Paul going to have one final good stretch.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, we are.
And Wiggins, too. Like, he's been bad all year. I'm just saying, if he's ever going to come out of a funk, this is maybe how you do it.
That would, oddly, the Warriors have a negative net rating with Steph on the court this year. So, in the games that he's played, they've actually played fine when he's been on the bench. But I don't think
that's probably a lot of Chris Paul.
Right. And so, I just think this locks them in into that 9-10 spot, which is a definitely.
Problem 10. Yeah. Good for the Lakers.
Mavs next.
Mavs snapped a three-game losing streak with a win over the Heat, courtesy of another triple-double from which I guess is good. It's good for most players, but when Luka does it, sometimes they lose. Here's Jason Kidd painting a beautiful picture about Luka. Take a listen.
Luka's triple-doubles, I've always said this, we can't take that young man for granted. You're seeing something that, as rare as a Picasso.
Wild.
I mean, what are we talking
about? Wild, just, can I?
He's going to call him the GOAT. Can I?
What place are the Mavs
also,
in?
Just for the record, Picasso, while a brilliant artist, famous for being maybe the most prolific painter ever.
Okay.
So we looked it up. All of NBA history, there have been 5,000 players. There are currently 13,500 Picassos.
Then it's a fair point.
So, I mean, I think almost...
Is it rare as Picasso or
no,
as a Picasso?
No, that's wrong, because it's rare Picasso. As Picasso, that right. would be
that's
fine.
One
he
one.
Actually said as rare as a Picasso, which you can see at, I think, a lot of CVS.
We have.
So, no disrespect. Amazing
no disrespect
painter.
To Picasso?
To Picasso,
Picasso's, yeah. What the
it's
hell?
All over the place.
Sorry. So here's the question that I did not write. Are the Mavs wasting Luka's talent?
I feel like you were the inspiration.
I wasn't.
But, okay. Are the Mavs wasting Luka's talent? I love Luka. You know that.
Yes.
I mean, you kind of you stole him from me. You stole LeBron from me. You stole Luka from me. I love Luka. I called him Luka Legend. I
you
think
did.
I was the
you were
first.
The first.
I agree. And not to get Mavs fans ticked off at me again. I agree with Kidd that he's better than Dirk. This dude is phenomenal.
I'll buy that.
But they're not wasting his prime or whatever you want to say. Luka's got to look in the mirror. Luka's got to play a little differently. Like, he's just too ball dominant. And he's great, but he's a one-man show. And I think, I don't know if I've ever shared with you guys the Chauncey Billups, what he told me. This was a decade ago, and we're talking about all these great point guards putting up these great numbers nowadays, you know, especially 10 years ago. And he was like, if I dribbled the ball for 20 seconds and I either took the shot or passed it to the guy that was going to take the shot, I'd have great numbers too. And so I'm not trying to belittle Luka's numbers because he is legitimately great. But some of the numbers are that he does everything for them. That roster's not that bad. You got a legitimate second star in Kyrie. You got some bigs that are decent and athletic. Lively looks like he could be something. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a very good player off the bench and can shoot. Like, I'm not saying it's a championship roster, but look at Jalen Brunson. We had no idea Jalen Brunson was this. He played well that last year when Luka averaged 16 points. But my point is, one man shows no matter how great. LeBron, Jordan, Will, Oscar, James Harden, not on their level, but James Harden, didn't win as one man shows. And Luka's getting to the point, Nick, where we're going to start like, you got to start winning.
So
I think they're going to have to figure out a way where everybody can be involved and he's still the star.
So I understand that, but also with this exact style, they beat the one seed Suns. They went to the conference finals, right? We saw that. And they lost to the champion Warriors. With this style, Luka didn't change his style at all. And in fact, Luka, as good as his regular season numbers are, historically, his numbers get better in the postseason. Which is why this is so frustrating, because the Mavericks made the same mistake I've seen teams make, which is you draft a transcendent talent who's so good so quickly, you try to microwave it. The Cavs did it when they got LeBron. Instead of being patient, you try to make these moves that are going to box you in, and then you can never build out the roster. Most famously, the Pelicans. Oh, my God, Anthony Davis is unbelievable already. Trade for Drew Holiday. Try to win right now. And then, by the time the guy is actually ready to win, your roster doesn't make sense. You don't have flexibility. The Mavs. Oh, my God. This Luka Doncic guy might be a top five player in year two. Trade for Kristaps. Let's get his second star now. Oh, that doesn't work. Now you're boxed in. You end up making the Kyrie trade. The one year the Mavs have had postseason success, they had the number 15 offense in the league and the number 6 defense in the league. Was Luka a better defender then? No.
Right.
But they had a roster of defenders, the belief being, okay, focus on defense. And in the off, in the postseason, when Luke is playing basically the whole game because he can, because he's young, the offense will naturally get better. Last year, when they stunk, number 6 offense, number 23 defense. This year, when they're disappointing, they don't stink. Number 6 offense, number 22 defense.
Well, get defenders around.
Yes.
It's like, but again, like when Allen Iverson got to the finals.
Yes.
That's what they did. But they never won it. And that's the thing. Now, he's...
He's better.
We'll see what he ends up. But, yeah.
Yes.
But
if he's better than Dirk, he's better than Iverson. As far as what his apex talent is. Not historically.
He's awesome.
Yet.
There's no doubt. But here's the other thing. And I know he's never going to be a great defender. But he, at times, doesn't even look like he's giving effort.
Yeah, but it's weird.
And Kyrie isn't a great defender. So they're two best players are not only not very good defenders, but at times don't even look like they're trying. And that sends a bad message to the other players. That's one reason they're horrific defensively.
One reason I like Charles Barkley and why that show was so good. Very short takes that are just perfect.
Well, that feels like a shot at me, man.
No, what?
Wow, that was
a shot at you.
No, go ahead.
They put up a full screen. He's averaging 37.6, you can round up to 38 points post All-Star game. They're 3-5, and Chuck just said, that's too many. That's too many points.
He's leading the league in points and assists,
yeah,
right?
But he's also leading in assists, so it's like,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah, but like I mean, again, if you make every play, that's how it's going to be.
But I guess my
And when it's him not doing it, it's Kyrie's turn. That's what they do.
I fervently believe maybe the problem for the Mavs' ability, if they were to, you know, go on a playoff run, losing the playoffs, might be the heliocentric stuff. I do not think the problem of why they've been mediocre the last two regular seasons is their offense.
Yeah.
They are a really good offense doing this. Now, if you want to say it, we haven't seen it work in the playoffs, you know, historically,
to
win a championship for anybody, and that's fine. But the problem is the roster doesn't have defenders.
Yeah.
Let me quickly. I think in the offseason they should look to trade Kyrie to the Lakers.
Okay.
Reeves, Hachimura, Vanderbilt. You got a defender in Vanderbilt. Reeves will hustle on defense and can play off the ball. And
Reeves is now the good defender?
Who?
No, Vanderbilt is. But
Vanderbilt
Reeves is also a better defender than Kyrie.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Luka kind of needs more role players around.
The Kristaps and the Kyrie moves boxed them in.
Last in the league in defensive efficiency since All-Star break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Live from New York, it's the show that just traded Luka to the Heat. I listened to your proposal. That was a good idea. The second hour of First Things First. Today, did Joker lock up his third MVP, and is Tatum officially out of the conversation? And is Anthony Edwards in it? Meanwhile, Max Crosby discusses the Mahomes rules.
I mean, what, beat him every leap year? That's what it's been so far.
But right now, checking in on Aaron Rodgers last offseason. He said he was 90% retired, but he's got a new lease on his football life. In a recent podcast appearance with Eddie Bravo, Rodgers says he might be good for up to 4 more years of football. Take a listen.
How can I be my best with my diet today, with my fluid intake? You know, just everything down to a T to try and get better. And I got back on the practice field late in the season and couldn't get to a top speed sprinting, but really been in a good place rehab-wise from the start and feeling really good. And, you know, again, I'm hopeful I can play 2 or 3 or 4 more years, but you need to have some good fortune there too.
Okay. Realistic expectations for Rodgers this season?
I mean, it's more likely it's his last year than that he has more. Also, those, I know it's small print, but those AFC East odds, it's depressing for Pats fans. Sorry, Wilds. But that's ludicrous. So if you can't see it, it says Buffalo plus 130, Miami plus 190, and the Jets right behind them at plus 290. Give me a break. This Jets team stinks. They don't have a good, best I can tell, coach. I don't have a lot of reason to believe they have a good front office. And Aaron Rodgers' last great game, do you remember when we were talking about the Cowboys playing the Packers and Mike McCarthy and his opportunity? Oh, yeah. That was Aaron Rodgers' last great game. Think about that.
I mean,
it was November of that was November of 22. His last really good season was when Mac Jones made the Pro Bowl.
Oh, hello.
And second in MVP voting, Brew. Was Tom Brady that season. Like, I don't buy the 40-year-old coming off the popped Achilles is about to play an extended stretch. And I don't buy that the Jets are getting a great quarterback back. They are getting back a quarterback that once was great and has not been great in since 2021, and it will be the 2024 season. Like, that's, I don't think that's controversial.
Look, I talked myself into believing in Aaron Rodgers last year. Yeah. Now, who knows how that would have went had he not gotten hurt. But it is hard to expect him to come in next year. He's now, what, two full seasons removed from playing great football. Yeah. And I do I think their defense obviously is good. Garrett Wilson is good. They got some decent skill position players.
Fine. The defense is the most overrated defense.
No, but it's
fine.
Don't let your Patriots by you.
No, we got
the
out
Jets.
There preseason like they got a great defense. Does the great defense numbers?
They had
stack
no
up.
Offensive help last year.
Okay, that's all fine.
Right. I mean, it's a good defense. I'm just saying, if he was 80% of what he was in his last MVP year, they could be okay. Sure. I don't think he'll be that. I think I'm more with Nick in that. What's realistic is that this is probably his last year. He goes out, he's okay, and they don't make the playoffs, and then he hangs it up. That's what's most realistic.
Also, some of you agree. I think it is totally fair to also have a more skeptical look at his last healthy season, which was his last year in Green Bay, now that we have seen the Packers last year. Like, the Packers last year had better quarterback play.
They were
better on – and I understand they're a young team, so the guys – there's a lot of factors
to it. But Rodgers didn't get those guys a chance.
Right. And so the question I would have is, what it is – if he had popped his Achilles post-MVP, then it'd be like, hey, we have no reason to believe if it's successful recovery that he can't get back to that level. We saw – a full year of football from Aaron Rodgers on a team that we now know was good enough to compete at least a year later. And he was not good. He was fine. He wasn't bad in 2022. He was fine. What is the logical argument that player is going to be better than he was the last time he was healthy?
I agree with that.
I just don't.
I think narrative-wise, everyone wants to follow the Tom Brady story. People have sold themselves on that. The coach of the franchise that he was with kind of got tired of him, sold him short, but he had more in the tank, and he can lead us to the promised land. But the truth might be more like Russell Wilson, Super Bowl winning quarterback. The coach kind of got tired of him. He got tired there. He went somewhere new, and it didn't work.
You're right.
So I think the Jets want it to be the Tom Brady story, but it might be the Russell Wilson story.
Also, the year Tom's last year in New England – they made the playoffs. They won.
Right,
they won double-digit games. Yeah. Then now they lost disappointingly in the first round in Tennessee. And then the first year without him, they were below 500 for the first time in 15 years, and Tom won the Super Bowl. Aaron's last year in Green Bay, they lost a home game in the final game of the year to miss the playoffs. The team then, without him, got back to the playoffs, won a playoff game, made it as far as Aaron has made in the playoffs, or won as many playoff games as Aaron has made in a year in like 5 years. And Aaron popped his Achilles four plays into the season. Yep. These stories are not the same. The trajectories are not the same. And the players historically have never been the same. Yep.
Free agent Saquon Barkley reportedly has a suitor in his NFC East rival Eagles. Last year, the Eagles had the eighth best rushing offense behind DeAndre Swift. Went for over 1,000 yards. Nick, do you think Saquon gets Philly closer to a Super Bowl?
Wilds did. Wilds, you want to do it?
Yeah,
Wilds said to me today before the show, he's like, I have a new impersonation.
Yeah. It's usually the nerd voice, but I got to do it.
I thought that wasn't you doing me. You always said that. All right, Wilds, I'll be you. You be me.
Yeah, yeah.
Would signing Saquon get Philly closer to the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Listen, Brew, you watched Philly closely last year because people forget they were your pick to win the NFC and win the Super Bowl and the whole thing. Ten toes down and all of it. At any point when you were watching their entire year fall apart, were you like running back away? Like, this is what they need.
Well, you're right. Like, look, would signing Saquon be a good move if he's healthy? Sure, he's fine. Running back's not been their problem.
No.
DeAndre Swift was good last year. Now, Saquon, we know, is a really high character guy. Would he mesh with Jalen? Yeah, that'd probably be good. But DeAndre Swift statistically was better than Saquon last year. The year before that, Miles Sanders were fine. Like, they've had a strong run game. So that's not the problem. They need to spend all that money on defense.
Yes.
And then find somebody, might not be a big name, but can be effective for you out of the backfield.
No, that's exactly right. The money needs to be spent on the back seven of their defense. All of their focus needs to be spent on their linebackers, corners, and safeties. Yep. And by the way, so like, I know it's not as big of a name, but it's a better player. He's a better player, I should say. It, you know, Philly could be a game changer for them. Justin Simmons, the player Denver just cut. Now, he's not cheap, but Howie Roseman's good at making those things work. That would be a position of need. Now, but I also want to make this clear. Just because I'm down on contenders spending big on running backs, except for Christian McCaffrey, I don't think Saquon is, you know, unable to help anybody. If I were Houston or Chicago,
like him in Houston,
that would be – or a young quarterback.
They didn't have a great
quarterback.
Chicago is really smart.
Yeah, to me, like, give Caleb all the opportunities to do well. Or two teams that have – well, one team, I guess, that has a veteran quarterback and one team that might, that I actually be like, okay, I think that might make sense. Arizona or Minnesota. I would at least call them. Minnesota, almost no matter what my quarterback, if I draft a guy or re-sign Kirk, I would at least consider it. But Philly, to me, is supposed to be close, but needs a ton of help on the other side of the ball.
Absolutely.
I feel the same way about Dallas. Dallas is close, needs a lot of help and specific help on the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So Saquon would not be my target.
Finally, Max Crosby, making the most out of his tete-a-tete with Mahomes from NFL Films when they were in each other's faces. Spent several podcasts about it. Take a listen.
People can take that whatever they want, whatever, but he knows I'm coming for him. It's the same. I'm on that energy every time, and I know my teammates are as well. It's not malicious or whatever, you know, people try to say we're trying to purposefully injure or whatever. It's a bunch of BS. You know, we play the game the right way, but we play with ill intent, and we play violent.
Kind of a...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I like Max. I'm not sure we're not being malicious. We play with ill intent and violent.
Okay. I get it.
Go ahead.
Your reaction.
I love it.
You love
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a violent sport. Now, you're not trying to hurt. I'm sure he does not want to hurt Patrick Mahomes.
No.
But you are trying to hit somebody, whoever it is, as hard as you can. That's called football. And every defender, I'm sure that's their mentality. And if you that's football. Let's pull back the curtain. All right, we want to make it all touch and 7-on-7.
I don't think anyone is arguing to make it touch football.
So he's wrong for saying we come with violence.
No.
Ill intent, if you want to take that to say he means, they want to hurt him.
He's wrong for talking a mumbling word about a team that's beat him 8 of the last 10
times.
Well,
I'm shocked. Where's the board?
You know what?
Friday board.
I thought about that.
Where's the
and
board?
I was like, you know what? I don't even know if they deserve it.
Oh, no.
You think
the only thing worse than being on the board is not being
beneath
on the board.
Not being beneath the board.
Exactly right. Like, listen, the Raiders, since Max Crosby's been in the league, have beaten the Chiefs 2 times. The first time they did it, it was such a big deal, they took victory laps around Arrowhead. Then they lost for 4 straight years. And then the next time they did it, it propelled the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl in their stadium.
Yeah, that's true.
And now Antonio Pierce is talking about having the Mahomes rules, and Max Crosby's talking all this nonsense. When this team, amazing, I mean, bully for them, that they're only 12-1 to win the division. And by the way, speak of insulting odds, the Chiefs only being -250 to win the AFC West. America, if you have $250,000 sitting around and you want to win $100,000, there's no better bet to make than that one right there. But give me a break. Give me a break.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was good.
That's true. Just don't talk about the Chiefs. But what he said.
Yeah, talk about somebody else. Talk about Justin Herbert.
It's football, Wild.
I understand. You said it.
Checking on the Joker. How did he do last night? Well, he just swept the team with the best record on the road and at home, while notching a 32-12, 11, and 0 turnover triple-double. It's only happened 3 times this year. Joker has them all. MVP odds. Joker now firmly in control at 1, then SGA, then Luka, whose team is not good, then Giannis, whose team is pretty good, and then Tatum, who might be leaving this graphic if anyone saw last night's game. Brew, you've got an official vote. Does Joker have your vote right now?
Yeah, he's got my vote, and he's probably got just about everybody's vote. You look at the field, and they're really – I mean, Luka's playing phenomenal, all right? I don't want to say lock it up because unless something crazy happens. But SGA is playing great. I don't know if people are ready to give him an MVP. Luka, I mean, they're the eighth seed. I'm sorry. I don't care how well he's playing. They're not. He's not winning an MVP as an eighth seed. Giannis, again, half the season, it's felt like they're a disappointing team.
Should I think that matter how it feels?
Yeah. Because they have been viewed as.
That's a good
I mean,
point.
They had to fire their coach. That's how disappointed they were. Think, now, I know the record was
right.
Fine,
I mean, they fired their coach.
They're not as good as expected.
But that was, to me, is reminiscent to the 16 Cavs. They didn't fire their coach because LeBron wasn't doing well. They fired their coach because they were like, we're trying to win a championship. We don't think this guy can get us there. Like, that's the – go ahead. I'll let you finish. I'm sorry. I just
I'm not saying Giannis – he's having a great year. Yeah. But I don't think – and then you go Tatum. Tatum's problem is he wasn't going to win anyway. He's in fifth. But this has been a bad week for him. Not just because of the couple of games where he missed big shots.
But people started paying attention.
Right. Everybody saw the clutch stats.
Exactly right.
Most probably people didn't even know those existed at this point. And then they said, oh, my gosh, he's 32% in the clutch. Mm-hmm. So he's done – he won't win it, but dark horse. And you've said it. Anthony Edwards could at least
here
get,
we go.
If he leads him, what he did last night was
he
phenomenal.
He could take Tatum's spot soon.
Yeah, and maybe go a little higher. Like, if he keeps them at the one or the two seed, and they're without Cat for this whole time, and they got a tough schedule coming up, where if he gets through this tough eight games they got coming up, and they're still the one or the two, and he's putting up great numbers, he gets in the conversation. But outside of Luka, Jokic getting hurt, I don't see how he's not going to win it.
This is where I vehemently disagree. I think that – so Giannis didn't even make our little odds thing there because he's 17-1 right now. So – can we just do Jokic and Giannis side by side? And let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about it for a moment. The point is going to be Giannis, but that's the assists are Jokic. So I would argue they're creating about the same amount of points per game. The rebounds are Jokic, but it's close. They both have elite field goal percentage. They're playing the same amount of games. Right now, Denver has a better record than Milwaukee, but it's very close. Now, Denver has a chance at a one seed, Milwaukee doesn't, but Denver also wouldn't have a chance at a one seed if Boston was in the West. You know what I mean? So does this – what? What?
Yeah, we're switching conferences.
No, I'm just saying they
– I'm saying the
number of the seed should – do we agree that number of seed is not as important as what your team's record is? That if you're the two seed and you win 58 games, and in the other conference the one seed wins 57, like to me, you guys were equivalent. So why would it be that one guy is minus 170, the other guy is 17-1?
One thing you look like, Giannis is telling you, even though it's not true that it's Dame's team, but Giannis is not the go-to guy at the end. That's the Jokic is the go-to guy. Jokic is Mr. Everything for them. Their whole offense revolves around Jokic, not in a bad way, not in a ball-dominant way, but he's creating it all, and he's doing it fluidly. Like, you just watch those two, and I think you come away. Yeah, Giannis is awesome, but Jokic is just – he's the man.
He does it all.
Whereas the other guy is saying it's his team.
That's right.
He's the one we're looking for at the end of games.
So if Jokic is the league's best offensive player, Giannis right now is fourth behind Luka and Shea, right? So like
offensive player?
Yeah. There's somewhere in that vicinity. Steph maybe is fourth, but Steph's actually.
I mean, statistically, his numbers are great, but if I need a bucket. Am I definitely going to Giannis?
No, but again, this is that wasn't held against Shaq. I don't know.
No, but I could go to Shaq and he would dunk on you.
And you can go to Giannis.
That's the thing. If Giannis would get down there, if Giannis doesn't go down there, Giannis is going to get it and then try to drive between.
Whatever he's doing, he's averaging 31 a night.
That's right.
Whatever he's doing. And he's doing it on 60. I don't know why we minimize it. He's doing it on the best field goal percentage in the league.
So your vote would go to Giannis right now?
No, I am saying right now, I think it is, with respect to Shea, a two-horse race, and it is a 55-45 Joker.
And the fact that it is that that big of a discrepancy when they're both two-time MVPs, they're both one-time champions, they're both one-time finals MVP, the idea that, like, one of these guys is just in a totally different stratosphere than the other, that's what I disagree with.
I mean, I agree that Giannis is in the stratosphere with him. But I'm saying, I will say this. I do think there is a sentiment for Jokic.
I agree.
That a lot of people feel like he should have won it last year. Sure. And so now I think there are some people that are – he started out with a head start.
That I agree with. I also think the point you made at the beginning is actually a sneaky, very important one, and I don't think it's fair. The Bucks have felt underachieving.
That's right.
Even if the Nuggets were the defending champs and the favorites coming into the year. They in Milwaukee are – we'll see who finishes with the
they
better record.
They were underachieving, too.
Correct. But just nobody – everybody, because they won the title last year, when they were underachieving –
No, I'm saying the Bucks were underachieving.
And I think Denver had a stretch for pre-All-Star okay. break where it looked like they
were
in a
Denver
bit of a funk.
I think Denver was coasting. No, oh, the Bucks were underachieving.
Okay, all right. But that's – but you understand what I'm saying? Yes. That it feels like the narrative has been set in a way that is a little unfair. And again – if I had a vote right now, I would vote Jokic.
Yeah.
But I think it is very – I think it's very close and should come down to the final 2 weeks, either final 20 games. I think it is very surprising to me that Giannis right now is – you bet $100, you win $1,700. Yeah. Bet $100 on Jokic, you win $60.
A little
that
recency bias. Maybe Giannis can play the Lakers tonight, play great, move up a little bit.
You know, there's one podcast you're still subscribed to that you don't listen to anymore. We're past the awareness phase now. We're at the action phase, everybody. Okay? Get onto your phone, dump that podcast, subscribe to ours, or stop watching. I'm done joking
no,
around.
No,
I'm done
keep
joking
watching.
Around. Stop
I
watching.
Prefer.
Stop. Go do something else. What? NBA Predictions Week. If you're still watching,
wow.
You can watch.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Wild? Oh, that is.
He's in the with the
oh,
players.
Oh, in the back.
Why are you with the players?
You know why.
I should be with the
I look great.
Yeah. Monday.
Bad
prediction.
Boy.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, prediction week. It's going to be excellent. Medals time. 2 minutes left in the game. Aaron Gordon. This is an all-time great
play. Nice.
That's too much. I'm sorry. It's late Friday. It's not an all-time great play. It is a solid play.
Very
this
good
year.
Play.
It's a great putback dunk.
Special edition of the medal stand. Each of one of our guys is on there.
Oh, good.
Bronze medal. My guy. Luka Doncic, 35-11-11, led the Mavs to a win over the defending Eastern Conference champion Heat, and we just said what was wrong with them, and we talked about them today. Silver medal, Wild's guy, Nikola Jokic, 32-12-11, so very similar results. They beat the defending Eastern Conference runners-up, and all we talked about is how they are an unbeatable juggernaut. Seems a little unfair of what we did today, but it is what it is. Gold medal, Bruce guy, Anthony Edwards. 44 and the game-winning block. What, Wilds?
Not my guy.
Anthony Edwards was my guy.
Yeah, and you gave him up.
You
no,
gave
it's
him
how
up.
How I lost
he's
Ja.
He's my guy.
Because Ja was my guy, and I flipped that series.
Yes,
Ja literally looked at you in the camera and
yes,
said,
Ja was your guy, and you left him for Anthony Edwards.
And
then you foolishly left Anthony Edwards as well for some weird Shingun Chet poo-poo
and
ladder.
And how'd you get
and
Jokic?
Them,
when did Jokic become your guy?
Because no one believes
the Nuggets
in
are your
said,
team.
No, Jokic
he's your guy?
No.
Jokic's not your guy.
I have
you don't want
whole squad. If any of them.
Because I'm ready to take Jokic.
He has all the Eastern European big men. Go ahead, Wilds. Oh, we got to play a soundbite.
Take
do we
a
have
listen.
Time for, do we have time?
Take a listen.
Soundbite.
B.A. A. Trey Lance or Jimmy G?
Bro, it's an easy question. It's really an easy right, question,
answer.
Bro. I just
answer
ain't
the question,
it.
Bro.
I go Trey Lance.
Wilds, what's the thing Brew does? Is this the thing he does?
I mean, that's
what?
What? You're taking credit for that?
Well, it's, I don't
like
know.
An IG is, live that is, I was trying to like decipher.
What's the,
I don't know. One guy led his team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Ayuk
and,
was there.
And a couple of guys.
And Ayuk was there. And said,
he played six games Ayuk's rookie year, Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Second year they go to the NFC title game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Trey Lance. Where
well,
is Trey
ask
Lance?
Him.
Where is Trey Lance?
With the Cowboys.
Are you going to hear from Trey Lance
this year? Ask Brandon Ayuk. Don't ask me. He made the call.
I don't know if that story. We should